Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 65 of The Brunch and Judge.
Almost like we never left.
Hey, guys, isn't it crazy? Look at us wearing the exact same clothes we had on last time.
Right. Oh.
De la
C'est la C.
C'est la
Ooh.
C.
Nice.
Although I do love that somehow we are like vibing. I mean, I don't know, video's live, but it looks like you're wearing like a nice light orange colored shirt.
It is. It's like a neon orange. It's one of my workout
And
shirts.
I'm wearing a yellow shirt. We're very, bright.
And then we wore tie-dye together
I know.
that one time. Y'all, we don't discuss our
It's
wardrobe
that mind
like
meld
ever.
thing. No, God, no. I don't know what I'm
Really.
gonna wear until I get up in the morning. I'm like, what is the thing that's gonna
Same.
make me the least annoyed today?
I'm usually like, oh, what's clean over here? Let me grab that. That's my, yep.
And say Saturdays and Sundays tend to be my crappy clothes days because I don't have to go to
Right.
work.
Same. Just like, yep.
Oh, hey, we're your hosts. I'm
Oh, yeah.
April.
And I'm Claire.
And we are here with you today to continue our journey in the movies.
Yes.
Ooh. But first, Claire, what are you judging this week?
I finished the ACOTAR series that's out.
Yay!
Like, I've read all of them now.
How many are there?
Five.
Five.
Well, four and a half, I guess. There's one that's like a novella that's like meh. I don't know if it counts as a full book.
Oh, that's true. Sometimes they do that weird, like, 0.5 thing, and I'm like,
Yeah,
well,
it's like an
why?
in between. It's not even like, it's just like to give you like insight to like their relationship, their like inner working relationship. It's not even like a real, like, it's just them celebrating like a Christmas holiday, like the winter solstice.
Oh,
Like,
is it like how Beauty and the Beast had like a weird enchanted Christmas that took place in the
yes.
midst of the movie somehow that we just didn't see?
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it like goes in order with the rest of them, but it's still just like, you know, it's not like there's not like a whole lot of plot stuff. I mean,
Okay.
smidge of it, but not a whole lot. So it's like four and a half, whatever. Whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I finished the last one, which is like 700 pages. And I was
Damn.
very like, yeah, right. I know. I was like, I'll just wait till later. But I'd forgotten that I put it on hold on my Libby.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
I had forgotten I'd put it on hold on Libby.
Oh,
And it came up and I was like, shit. Because I was like, 700 pages, damn it.
Yeah, that's,
That's going to take me forever
I
to read, and
mean,
I'm busy.
it's basically two books, so like,
No, I was like, I'm busy. I got stuff going on. And so I was like, eh. So I was like, I'll start it. And so I get like three chapters in, and I'm like, God, I hate this character. She's a bitch. Because it's not the main character from like the first three. It's her sister who was a bitch in the first three books. And you're just like,
that's
because she's.
different. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, this is not, you know, it's about one of the sisters. And I'm just like, oh, God. So I text my sister-in-law, Allie, because she's, and I'm like, have you read this one? And she's like, I have read all of SJM's books. Thank you very much. And I'm like, oh, excuse me.
My bad. I'm so
No,
sorry.
Allie is into the SJM world, Sarah J.
If
Maas,
it
all the
works for
way.
you go for it and you enjoy that shit because that's how it's
I
supposed to
know.
be. You read what makes you happy.
And she has read all of Sarah J. Maas's works. Anyways, so she was like, I love that one. She's like, it's one of my favorites out of that series. I'm like, really? Because, you know, it's hard with the interwebs to like get into anything and not see some kind of spoilers.
Right.
So shit that I had seen about this book was like, you know, all these characters that you've read in the first three and a half books that you love, and it's like, oh, it taints your opinions of them and blah blah blah, and you know, and they're like dickish things that they do, and yeah, you know, stuff like that. So it's like, she's like, well, you know, yeah, through the first 3.5 books, you see everything through like the main character, Feyre. You see everything through like her like love struck per you know, her point of view. But this one you're seeing it through her sister's point of view, which is obviously not like lovey-dovey, la la la, you know. She's got a more like hardened worldview. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll give it a shot. Because I was like, I'm only like 3 chapters in, whatever. And so once I start getting into it, I was like, could not put it down. I was just, I blew through that in like 3.5 days.
Wow,
Like
700
700
pages with
pages.
like
Granted,
real
one
life.
was like over, you know, one was over like a weekend, like a Saturday or a Sunday where I didn't have to like work either job and I was able just to sit and read. But I blew through like 350 pages in a day. And I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
You did nothing today but sit on your ass and read.
That's correct. That's the correct thing to do.
Know, last time we were talking about, you know, allowing yourself to
To
rest.
rest, yes.
And so I did. And apparently that's what I needed that day, was to just sit and read my book.
Yes.
So, yeah. And I wound up liking that one better than just about any of them. I felt like it was one of the best ones out of the series because her character arc was like chef's kiss. And I think what people misconstrued as like it taints your view of some of the other characters, it's more like it makes them more real. You know, because some of these characters are morally gray anyway. You know, it makes them more morally gray.
Right.
You know, yeah, some of these guys did some dickish things and you're like, God, yeah, that was a dick move. Yeah, whether that was from her perspective or from Feyre's perspective, that was a dick move regardless. You know, it was like, because they're saying like, because it was from Nessa's perspective, like, I'm like,
He's
no.
like, no, that was a dick. It just
That was a
was
dick thing to
a
do,
dick move.
regardless. No. Like, I'm just like, some of these people, they get really territorial over characters, and I get it, because people with the Harry Potter universe were the same way, you know. But like I said, her character arc was great, and it goes really into like her mental health and just mental health in general. And you know, it added some new characters in there that hadn't been in the previous books that really like added to the story. And I just, yeah, it became one of my favorites. And I'm glad I listened to my sister-in-law and hung in there.
That sounds good. I mean, I'm glad it worked out because
Yeah.
I don't know how I would feel in that situation. Like, I've grown to love this group of people for 3 books, and suddenly it's like, oh, it's her?
Right.
Maybe I don't care.
Because it was like in the first 3 books, it's like Feyre tries so hard with her sisters. And which Allie and I have had this conversation. The other sister, Elaine, she's fucking useless. We hate her. Like, she's useless. Useless. And at this point, because I'm assuming Sarah J. Moss will have to write a book about her, because why write a book about
The one and not the other.
one? And yeah. And so Allie was like, at this point, she goes, the only way you can make me write, can make me like Elaine is if you made her a bad guy. That's the only way you can make her interesting. Because she became like such a, I hated her even more after reading this book. Because it was like, oh God, it was just like, ew, no, can't stand her. No. It was just, yeah. Because she would do things that, it almost like she would do them on purpose, things that would trigger Nesta, like after she would like get so far with her mental health stuff, and then she would just show up and like say shit that would trigger her, and I'm like,
Oh,
what
God.
a
I mean, with sisters like that, who the
bitch.
fuck needs enemies, man?
Right, exactly. And so it was like, you get these first 3 books where you know, like you said, you love all these characters, and it's like Feyre has tried so hard, because the whole thing is, you know, it's like they're the fae. They're
Right.
the fae, high fae, and yes, high fae. Not just
High fae. Not
normal
just
fae,
any
they're high
fae. They are
fae.
the high fae. Got
Yes.
it. Got
And
it.
at some point, which I mean, these books have been out a while.
Yeah, I
Spoilers.
mean, like,
Spoilers, turn it off for
guys,
like 10 seconds. they've been turned into Feyre and her sisters get turned into High Fae. They weren't always High Fae, they were humans.
I mean,
And
that's
there's
fair.
been like,
That
yeah,
seems
and there's been,
inevitable. I mean, let's be real.
yeah, and there was like, discord between humans and High Fae. And so when Feyre gets turned into High Fae, her sisters are like, oh my God, especially Nesta. She can't stand it. And so, but then when her sisters get turned into the High Fae against their will,
Oh,
that,
that is
yeah.
not acceptable.
Yes,
Consent
yes.
is necessary in all situations, okay?
So there's that aspect to it. And then it's just, so she's got those anger issues on top of like her daddy issues. And so it's just, Feyre has tried to be nice to her. And it's just Nesta's all kinds of angry. She's got all the anger issues, but it's about her working through those anger issues. And, it's a really good book. And I prejudged it. And I'm judging myself on that because I did. I prejudged it based on shit that I read online and I should not have. It wasn't like I went looking for it.
Yeah, I
It was
know. It's
just
just
junk
that's
that popped,
yeah. Because you're
shit
interested in
that.
it, you get all
Yes.
of the notifications and you're like,
Yes. Things.
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that was my fault. I should not have prejudged it. And I'm glad I hung in there and finished it and read it because I really feel like it was one of the best ones out of
Oh.
what has been published so far.
Nice.
That one and the second one, A Court of Mist and Fury, those are the two best ones out of the series. Anyway, so
Very
yeah.
cool. Well, good.
I'm kind of judging myself on that for prejudging this book based on online vitriol towards this book. I shouldn't have done that. I should just read it and formed my own opinion. It was really good. Because you
Good.
know how, like I said, you know how people are.
Oh, I
They
do.
get attached,
I
they get
do.
attached to their
They
characters and they
do.
get mad and it's meh.
I mean,
You know.
yeah, they do.
It's, yeah. So, but yeah. I if you're into that kind of stuff, if you're into fantasy fiction junk, I recommend it. It was good. Best books ever? Not really. But I mean, they were, I guess, because they're easy reads for
Yeah,
me.
no, I understand. I completely understand. You really thoroughly enjoyed them. They're very good.
I
You
did.
highly recommend them to anyone who's interested.
Yeah.
Maybe not your favorite books of all
Although,
time, but
no.
you love them
However, I
enough
will
to
say
recommend. Yeah.
this one, the last one, is she wrote all the others under young adult, but this one she did not.
I understand because I get all sorts of library related garbage. And stuff that, like, she didn't want any of them to be young adult books. She wanted them to
Yeah.
be adult books. But, like, it
Right.
was her publisher just wouldn't do it. And she's so, I think what I understood, this may not be true because I read it on the internet. And we all know that just because it's on
Does
the internet does not mean that it's
not mean it's
true.
true, right?
But what I read was that because they refused to honor her desire to not, these not be. To not let them be adult books, she intentionally wrote them more racy just to kind of force their
Well,
hand. And I was like, damn, good job, lady. I'm here for that.
this one was definitely
More
the raciest.
of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were banging each other every, like, once they started it, like, it was just like every,
I mean, that's
I mean, it was all over
fair.
the
That's
place.
how it
Right,
works when it's new and exciting. Once you start,
right.
don't
Right,
stop.
right. But it was just But it was just one of those that was like, ah, okay, we're doing this. All right.
Very
But I
interesting.
think that was, yeah, I think she probably did do that intentionally. Well, and also, I mean, they probably did it because they're like, well, this main character has been the first three. She's 19. That's probably why. They were like, oh, it's a YA because she was 19.
But I'm like,
You know,
so
I don't know.
there's an entire murder mystery series in which the main character detective is a child and it's an adult book. Like they're not NYA, they're adult books.
True.
So, I mean, whatever. I don't know. It's just when it comes to the book publishing world, once you're in a genre, it's impossible. Like once that you get put somewhere, it's almost impossible to get out of it.
Yeah,
Even if it's not what
right.
it is. That's why so many authors end up doing like pen names and stuff so they can be something else.
Somewhere else, and not like they're like, I want to write something else
They're
and
like,
not be
no.
pigeonholed into this like this one genre forever. So yeah. But yeah, if you're into fantasy fiction, I recommend it. It was good. Even if you're not, branch out.
I'm always here to say try something new. If you hate it, then you know. If you love it,
Right.
then you're like, oh, new thing I like. So
I
cool.
will say that the first book is basically 2 parts Beauty and the Beast, 1 part Hunger Games.
Fair.
It's like if Beauty and the Beast, but Belle is Katniss and she can't read.
Oh God, why? Reading is all I have.
Because her family was really poor and they didn't bother to school her. So basically all she learned how to
So
do
you're
was use
telling
an
me
arrow and hunt.
that the Beast is teaching Belle how to read, then, right?
Yeah,
Okay,
kind of.
I'm here for
Yeah.
that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Fine.
I mean, she does learn
Oh,
eventually.
yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's not like she stays illiterate forever. Just
That's
know that,
good.
though.
I would really hate
Like,
to propagate the idea that illiteracy is fine. So,
no, no.
especially when it's a book.
Right. But anyway, so yes, I recommend. And don't go judge it. Yeah. And if you don't read a book, if you've not read a book, don't go online.
No,
Just stay
stay
offline
away.
until you read it. Because then you wind up like me, and then you don't want to read it, and then you prejudge things, and it's just
I mean,
bad
unless of
all the way
course you're
around.
looking for like trigger things, because I know there's all sorts of websites that give you like a
Yes,
heads up about
yes,
triggers,
yes,
and I feel like these might have some triggers. I feel like I've seen
yes.
trigger
Yes.
warnings for them, so you know, all
Yeah.
of that, know those things.
Right. So, yeah, that's my
It's
judge.
an excellent judge, Claire. I love it. I'm so glad you were able to finish it. Well, catch up, because I assume she's not done, because it's a very successful series.
I've heard she's writing more,
Yeah.
but she's also written, she's got two or three other series that she's written or is writing for. I don't, this is the only one of hers that I have read,
Right.
so I don't know. But I know that she's got, I think it's two other series that she's written or is writing for, but I've saw somewhere else that she's not done writing for this one either. So I don't know. Anyway. Which I'm, like I said, I assume she's going to write a book about the useless sister, which I don't know if that would ever make me like her, but then again, here I am prejudging, so whatever. Like I
Yeah, you never know. People change.
said, anyway.
Anyway.
What are you judging?
So I have a couple of things to judge this week. First, I would like to judge the fact that there is another Kenneth Branagh Poirot movie coming out this October.
Yes,
October,
I'm
September.
here for it.
September, October. I don't remember now. And it is based on one of my all-time favorite books with Poirot. It is my favorite Poirot book. And it's Halloween Party. It's the title of the book. And if you
Oh, that's,
recall,
you talked
that's
about
the one
that.
that I
Yes.
did a story on way back
Yes.
several episodes ago. So this is a modified telling of the story because it's called A Haunting in Venice. And it did not take
Okay.
place in Venice, and there were no hauntings. But that's okay. I
But
watched the trailer and it looks fucking terrifying. Like, it looks like he took Poirot and turned
ooh.
it into a scary movie. And there's like hauntings, there's like creepy, like, oh, what's the when you know how, like, in the old days, where you, the old days, long before we existed, when
The
they were just
olden
figuring out
days.
like movies, you could spin the thing and you'd see like the little da 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 da.
Okay,
Watch the
yeah.
movie that way. Like, it was like a
Yes.
viewer. So it's something kind of like that, except it's a thing that spins, and so it makes it look like a skeleton that's dancing or whatever. And
Yes.
it's in the trailer, and I'm like, ooh, it's spooky. Like, everything is spooky. It looks like there's ghosts. It looks like Poirot is haunted by a ghost of some kind. I mean, I'm sure it's not a real ghost for Poirot. It's just like a
Right.
memory of this person he couldn't save or whatever. But I am stupid fucking excited about it. Like, I don't care that it's not perfect and true to the original story that I love, because you know what? I love scary fucking shit. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And
Yes.
I need everyone in the whole world to go watch it, because I need more Poirot movies forever and always. Keep on bringing them Kenneth Branagh, I think.
I have thoroughly enjoyed the last two.
And like,
Like, I've really loved Murder on the Orient Express, and Death on the Nile was great. I mean, granted, they did change some stuff, but
but
it was
like,
not enough to like
they
make me angry.
to me they changed things to make it feel fresh, like not just the same
Yes.
old. And
Right,
I
right,
love
right.
Agatha Christie, and like her tropes still exist today, as you know.
Right.
And I don't think she'd be offended by any of the changes. I honestly don't think she's going to be offended by this one because I think it's going to be great. I'm so excited.
Right.
Doing my dance.
And I think Kenneth Branagh is a really good director. I think he's a great actor. So, and
Yes.
I really like him
I do too.
as Poirot. I really do.
It is, it feels like a good, like a slightly different portrayal and understanding of Poirot, and I'm here for it because it doesn't not fit how I understand Poirot as a character,
Right.
and that's very important to me. It's like it doesn't have to be David Suchet, even though he's perfection,
Oh, because I love
because he
David
was perfect.
Suchet.
He was exactly
Yes.
what you think, but it feels
Right.
like it's just a different understanding and not a total rewrite of who that character
Right.
is. So
Yes.
I'm here for it, and I love it. I'm so excited.
I know, because David Suchet is what you've always have in your brain. It's
Yeah.
like, because,
He's so
yes.
perfect. God.
Yes.
But I do love Kenneth Branagh's mustache. His little mustaches are, instead of being
Yes.
like the like it's
Like
it's
the
it's so good. I love it. I love it. Oh, it makes me happy. Okay. So that's one judge. That's a good positive one.
Yes.
My second judge is a thing that has annoyed the shit out of me this week.
Okay.
So I picked up a random smutty smut book while I was at a bookstore in Kentucky, actually.
Yes.
And I finally read it, I guess when I got back. So it's been a couple weeks now. And I enjoyed it. It was exactly what I was looking for in the land of smut. I finally got one right, guys. It
Yay.
was the right level of slightly adventurous things that are a little bit out of my zone, but still comfortable. It's it's there's like a there is a club, and it's and it you get a little taste of like things that people like, but the particular people you're following, aren't there. They're like little
Yeah.
tiny things.
What book was it?
It was called Blush by Helen Hart.
Okay.
And so really enjoyed it. It was really good. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna try another one. So
By
by
her
her,
or
by Helen
just
Hart.
okay.
So, because that one didn't have any sequels exactly. They have
Okay.
more that's in the series, but it's not the same people. And that story I
Okay.
liked. It was a friends to lovers trope, which was nice. I
Okay.
hadn't
Right.
truly experienced that yet. So then I read another one that is in that same, I guess, world, because this character, one of the main characters in this book, was a minor character in Blush. So I was
Okay,
like, oh, okay, I'm
gotcha.
curious. It's fine.
So it's like in that same universe, kind of. Okay.
And there are three books in it, sort of. There's actually six books, but it feels very 50 Shades, where it's like three books from her perspective and then three books that are from his perspective. And I'm like, what?
Okay.
One that I picked up was her perspective, and that feels good to me because I'm a her, so I want to read that perspective.
Right.
So like I read the first one and I'm like, oh, this is really good. I enjoy it. I have borrowed it from Libby, from online library.
Yeah.
And it's great and I love it. And so then I go ahead and get the next book because it's a continuing story. There's not like even a break in time. Like you finish one and basically the next sentence is literally the next thing that happens. No time has
Okay.
passed.
And what is this? And
So
what book
this
is
is
this?
called Follow Me. Follow Me Darkly? Follow Me Under? Follow Me. I have to look it up now. There's. Bleh. I knew you'd have to ask me a hard question.
I know.
I want to say it's Follow Me Darkly. Do-do-do-do. Yes, Follow Me Darkly. And
Okay.
so I really enjoyed it. It was really good. Again, not too dark, even though it's called Darkly.
Gotcha.
And I really enjoyed it. And so I go ahead and get the second book because I like they're super fast reads. And so like I get the second one, and I had one of those days where I just wasn't feeling like doing anything, and I sat and read forever and basically finished it that day, the second book, which is called Follow Me Under. And again, got
Huh.
it from Libby, got it from my library online. And then I go to get the third book in the series, and they don't have it.
Boo.
And I'm like, they were all published like within months of each other. So
Right.
Follow Me Always is the third one. And it was literally published like 3 months after Follow Me Under back in 2021. I'm like, why does my online library not have it? And I'm not talking about the library I work for. A
Right,
different
right.
one. And so I'm like, shit, what's this about? So then I go and I look at my library because I know that we have Follow Me Darkly in book form on our shelf because I notice it specifically. I'm like, oh, well, maybe we have the others. It's not on our shelf. So I check our catalog. We are in a consortium of over 70 libraries. I'm like, I can have it sent here. Nobody has it. And I'm like,
What?
guys, what the fuck is happening? Like, I'm never gonna know how this stupid book ends, how the story ends. Cause like at the end of book two, things aren't good. They're having a bad time. It's not a good time for them. So I'm like,
You're like,
no,
but I want
I
to
need to know.
know.
And I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to get this without having to pay for it? Cause I don't want to pay for it.
Because you're like, I don't want to have to buy this.
I don't
I
want to buy the
wonder.
third book in a trilogy that I had got to read the first two, you know? Made me insane. It's such a bizarre thing. And the other weird thing,
So my Libby, my online library doesn't have any of those. At least not on
Libby.
or can yeah.
And
I've
so,
noticed that they don't have a lot of the smut stuff.
yeah, I get
It's
it.
like, yeah.
And so that's partly why I ended up reading them because that was ones that they had. But so, like,
Right.
I even went on Libby to look at the book to try and get like a synopsis. I was like, well, where at least is the story going so that I can have a thought? Nothing's there. Like, I mean, it just has a, it doesn't give me any information really about the book. I'm like, what the hell? So I'm dying.
Oh,
I'm dying
man.
inside. I'm like, I mean, Kindle will happily let me buy it for $6.99, but I'm not really wanting to do
Could
that.
you, do you have an Audible that you could go like find it and listen
I
to
don't know that I should listen to them.
it? You're like, I don't
I
want to listen to it.
mean, it's racy. That's it's my commitment level of racy smutty, by the way. I'm super pro
Gotcha.
it. It's really good. Really good. So, so annoyed. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm
That is annoying.
really mad about it. So now I'm reading a murder book, so well, there's no good sex scenes in it because she's alone in a cabin that she's writing. She's a true crime writer and she's alone in a house where like the family was all murdered 20 years ago and she's finishing up her book there. And there's like a big snowstorm and then suddenly the dog that she randomly found at the house and just started feeding finds a child or something. I don't know. That's as far as I got outside. So
What?
she's bringing the child inside. And I'm like, oh God, now what? You're about to get snowed in with a child and a dog, and
Hey,
it's
I'm
true
reading a book
crime.
about people that get snowed in.
Yeah.
The Hunting Party.
That is so good. That one's my
Is it?
favorite. That's my favorite Lucy Foley. Love that book.
Okay.
I loved it so much, mostly because it's Scotland, but.
Right.
But yes, no, I loved it. I loved everything about it. Enjoy it. But anyway, okay, sorry. Now that I've gone too far off the rails.
Ranted because your library doesn't have the third book in your series, and now you're
Right?
like,
I'm okay with
ugh.
that. It's fine. Whatever.
Oh,
Oh, in fact, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do this week's sweary affirmation.
okay. Doing it early. Okay.
Because this week's very affirmation is finding inner peace begins with four words. Not my fucking problem.
Yes. Yes, I'm here for that.
It's not my fucking problem that my library refuses to give me the things. I'm gonna just move on. It's fine. It's fine.
There you go.
It's fine.
Yes.
Okay. My rant is over. I'm finding my inner peace.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, what movie are you going to be talking about today?
Oh, Claire, and everyone who is a millennial, today I am talking about Scream.
Oh, dear Jesus. Oh, no. Oh,
I
this movie
vividly,
haunts my dreams.
really,
Like, what? Oh,
I
God.
vividly remember this movie from our, I mean, we were still young when it came out, our very tween
Yes.
year. We were tweens, I guess.
Yes, we
You know, we
were.
watched this. It was probably a poor life choice, but here
It was 100%
we
a poor life choice.
are.
I remember, God, did I make mom and dad rent this?
Oh,
I remember
God.
watching it by myself.
Really?
Yes. Like, I was home by myself because I think mom and
No.
dad, like, took Walt to some ball game, like his ball
And
practice
you
or
thought, you know what
something.
I'm gonna do? I'm gonna watch Scream. I
Right.
guess you had no idea
Because
that it was
I
gonna be
wanted
like
to
that.
be a big girl like my friends who all love scary movies. I fucking hate scary movies and I wanted to be a big kid. I think I was, God, 12.
Oh,
When did this movie come out? When did this movie come?
1996.
So, yeah, 12. 12. God, yeah, shit. Yeah, and I remember I was like sitting on the couch because the couch was like back against the wall, and I could like, this is the old house, and I could like see everything and like the one entryway and had the all the lights on. Mom and dad come home and like all the lights on, and, like, having a cow. I think I even like unplugged the phone.
I love that so much. I
I
mean,
think, yeah, I think I even unplugged the phone at one point.
I know I watched it in theaters. I remember watching it. I don't remember who I was with. I was
No,
13
I
or
did not
whatever,
go to
but
the
I
theater.
saw it in theaters and I loved it. And I watched all the first three. I was like, yeah. And like loved them because I lived at home where I was safe and nothing bad could happen. Even though they're all dying on the screen, it's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. But yes, so Scream. Did you know, Claire, that Scream was actually somewhat based on real life events?
What?
I know.
No.
Okay, first I'm going to tell
No.
you my sources. So my sources include Wikipedia, ballstatedaily.com, theringer.com, People, and my personal favorite, Spencer telling me the story after he got Chat GPT to write it and then like reading through it. And it was the greatest thing. Like he did it for, so I was like, I gotta get my notes done. He's like, well, can I help? And he's like, maybe Chat GPT can do it. I'm like, sure. And then he's like, this is awful. I can't believe you guys do this every you talk about. And so he's telling me the story and he's just like, and then this, and then oh my God, and then this, and oh my God. And he's like, and it's just in my head. And I'm like, yeah. And it was amazing. He told it. He told it so well that I hope that I can tell it with just like at least a fraction of his like emotion and enthusiasm. It was magical.
Should have recorded it.
I know. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know what was coming. But it was beautiful. Okay,
Nice.
so turns out that the movie was inspired by, somewhat based on, the horrors that was the Gainesville Ripper,
Okay.
who murdered five college students in a 3-day period in August of 1990.
All right.
So, in 1990, a series of gruesome murders took place in Gainesville. The first one, on October 24th, Sonia Larson and Christina Powell, who were 18 and 17 years old, respectively, were sharing an apartment. They lived together when someone broke in. Now, we'll go into who it is later, but the
Yeah.
intruder found Christina sleeping on the couch downstairs, and he went and stood over her, looking down at her for a few moments before deciding to go upstairs instead.
That's not fucking creepy at
No,
all.
it's not at all. Not at
Ugh.
all.
That just makes my skin
Well,
crawl.
and
Bleh.
yeah, this, I'm not gonna lie, this is awful. It's pretty awful. Sorry, guys. It's really fucking bad. But to be fair, it inspired Scream, which, if you've seen it, is really fucking awful. Really bad
Yeah,
things happen.
1,000%.
Really bad
Okay.
things happen in that movie. Okay. So he instead goes upstairs where he finds Sonya asleep in her bed. And so he takes a piece of tape and tapes her mouth shut while she's still while she's still asleep, so that when it wakes her up and she tries to scream, she can't scream and wake up Christina downstairs. And so he does that, and then he stabs her to death. And he goes back down to Christina, who's still asleep because she didn't hear anything, and does the same thing, tapes her mouth shut before she wakes up. When she does wake up, he binds her wrists behind her back. He rapes her, and then he flips her over so that she's face down at that point and has her back to him. And he stabs her in the back.
Ugh.
After that, he takes them and poses them in sexually provocative positions. And then he goes and takes a shower in the apartment to wash off all the evidence.
Ugh. That's terrible.
Yes, this is terrible. He's awful. August 25th, the next day. Christina Hoyt, age 23. Someone breaks into her apartment by prying open a sliding door with a screwdriver. I need you to know that last night, after Spencer told me this story, after I worked on these
Your
notes,
sliding door to your bedroom.
he had it open to let cool air in, and I went closed and locked it and like, fuck this shit.
You're like, nope,
I
nope, nope.
can't. Nope. And Spencer noticed that. He's like, I noticed you locked the sliding door. I'm like, yes, I did. No hell's bells.
You're like, nope.
But so he breaks in, but Krista wasn't home yet. And so he waits in the living room for her to return, which is creepy as fuck, by the way.
Absolutely. See, this is my problem. This is why I think this creeped me out so bad. Like watching it was because like all the other horror movies, yeah, they're scary with their jump scares, but like going home, it was like it didn't terrify me because they're all like fake bullshit, like Freddy Krueger, Jason. Like none of that is, but this was like teenagers killing other teenagers. Like this was a real person killing other, and almost kind of like the movie The Strangers. Like that movie freaked the shit out of me. Like I can't finish it to this day. Like because A, the burlap sacks are terrifying.
No.
B, it's because it's like people fucking with other people, and those are the ones that terrify me the most, is because it's like, and that is also based off like the Manson murders and all that, you know, and it's like based off real shit, and I'm
Yeah,
just like,
that's
oh, this
scary.
terrifies. Yes. And I didn't realize that this was based off something real, but the fact that it was like teenagers killing other teenagers, I think that's why
It freaked you
it
out so much.
bothered, yeah, it bothered me so much, is because it wasn't some like mystical entity like Freddy Krueger, like, oh, I'm gonna get you if you fall asleep in your dreams. Like,
Or Jason, who just keeps coming back from the dead, and
yeah, like you can't fucking kill him, like, whatever, you know, or like Pinhead, you know, like that kind of stuff is like, shit's made up. This could actually fucking happen. And also, I hate masks. I hate masks. I don't like them. I think that's another thing. I hate fucking masks because I'm just like, ah. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. It's a lot. There's a lot. It's a lot. So when she does return home, he surprises her from behind and, pretty easily he takes control over her, puts her in a chokehold, and then uses duct tape. Again, we're going to see the theme. Puts duct tape on her mouth, binds her wrist, and then he takes her back into the bedroom where he cuts off all of her clothes, rapes her, flips her again so she's facing down, and stabbed her throat and her heart from the back.
Oh,
But then, so like
God.
she's dead. But then he flips her back over, so like her face forward, I guess.
Right.
And he slices her from the pubic bone to the breastbone, so like just all so that like all of her whatever. So he does that, he leaves, he goes home and realizes he doesn't have his wallet and is like, oh no, maybe I left my wallet at a murder scene.
Oh, jeez.
So he goes back, finds his wallet, and is looking at his horror, really, and decides, you know what I should do right now? I'm gonna decapitate her.
Oh God,
So
no.
he cuts her head off of her body. Then he poses her body so that it looks like it's sitting at the edge of the bed, and he puts her head on a shelf that's facing the body. Purely just for the shock value.
What the fuck? This is so fucking messed
I
up.
know. It's absolutely fucking messed up.
How have I never heard of
I
this?
know. I know,
I
right?
don't remember hearing about this at all. Of course, I would have been six,
Yeah.
but whatever.
Fair. But like in all of the true crimes, I was like, we haven't talked about this. I've not heard this one.
No. Yeah. Keep going. This is awful. Just keep going. I need to know.
Okay. 2 days later, August 27th, Tracy Poles and Manuel, I'm gonna get his last name wrong, Tabuada, who are both 23. Again, this guy breaks into the apartment via a sliding glass door using his screwdriver. He finds Manuel. I'm not sure how to say it.
Manuel.
Manuel. That's right.
Probably Manuel.
Manuel.
Yeah.
Finds Manuel asleep in one of the rooms, and he kills him after a brief struggle. Now, the commotion of that struggle alerted Tracy, and she came to investigate. And so she sees the intruder and runs to her bedroom and tries to barricade herself in the bedroom, but he breaks through the door with his tools, his screwdriver, and whatever else he has, and does the same thing to her. Tapes her mouth, binds her wrists, cuts her clothing off, rapes her, flips her over, stabs her. Basically, through the heart from the back.
Ugh.
Now, this is five, 17 to 23-year-olds who die in a 3 day period, really.
Right.
And it's all happening in Gainesville. They're all like college age students. And so the whole community's freaking the shit out. They're in a panic, of course. Many
Yes.
college students flee. Like they're like, we're out until you catch somebody. We're not coming back. A lot of, because it was the start of a new semester, like a lot of people just dropped out and were like, no, out,
Right.
bye.
I mean, can you blame
Lots of can yeah,
them?
lot the ca classes were canceled. Like it was really
Right.
bad. So everyone was freaking out, living in fear, because like, what the fuck? September 1990. So this is just, a few weeks later. Danny Rowling was captured during an attempted bank robbery in Ocala, Florida. During his interview slash confession to the police, he ended up confessing to the Gainesville murders as well.
What?
And a triple homicide that occurred in Shreveport. And he was able to provide details of the crime, so they knew this was the guy. He's the one that did this. Now, who is Danny Rowling?
Yeah, I was like, who is
Who
this
is this
guy? And
guy?
he's robbing a bank? Like, what the hell?
So he was born May 26th, 1954, in Shreveport, Louisiana, and had a fairly troubled upbringing. His father was incredibly abusive. His father was also a cop who frequently told Danny that he was unwanted. And some speculate actually taught Danny how to cover his tracks, since he's a cop, able to be like, blah, blah,
Right.
blah. Like, not like intentionally being like, if you ever commit a murder, blah, 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 but like, taught up the stuff.
Right.
As a kid, they moved around a lot. And it was a pretty hard house to grow up in. But his mom, interestingly, was a petite white brunette with brown eyes, just like all of the women victims. So he was killing all these people that looked like his mother. It's creepy
Oh
AF.
God, that's yeah, ew.
So his troubled upbringing, he got into trouble a lot. Whether it was because of how he grew up or because he was just fucking broken inside,
Right.
which I argue is probably it based on these crimes.
I mean, 100%.
And so he committed lots of crimes, including armed robbery a few times, went in and out of prison a lot, and was very fascinated by violence. And two of his favorite movies of all time, Claire, were Halloween and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding
I'm
me?
not getting it. Absolutely not. When, so like he was arrested, he went to trial and ended up getting convicted of multiple murders and received multiple death sentences because you know how Florida is. They love to send you to death
Yeah, they
row.
do.
They're very happy to do that. Although, I'm gonna be honest, in this case, like absolutely 100% supportive. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Right.
But so while he was waiting on death row, he, of course, like many serial killers, started getting lots of letters in the mail from interested people.
Right.
And
They're
so
fanatics. Yeah.
he ends up corresponding with a true crime author who's trying to get his story for a book. Her name, Sandra London. And one thing leads to another, and they become romantically involved, which, what kind of a true crime
Ew.
writer falls in love with this horrendous piece of shit? Like, you know better. You
Right.
literally write about it. You know better.
Like, you know he killed these
Yeah,
people.
and you know,
Not only did he kill the people in Gainesville, he killed, what, three
three
people
people
in
in Shreveport,
Shreveport?
and
So eight, this
apparently,
guy has killed eight people and he tried to rob a fucking
yeah.
bank? No.
Well, and he apparently
No.
planned the murder of his dad, but it didn't work out. So I'm like, well, okay. Damn.
No.
But so they become engaged.
Gross.
And in one of his hearings, because, you know, there's mandatory appeals he hearings with your death row,
Right.
whatever, he used his time on the stand to serenade her. And I'm like, is this Ted Bundy? Is
Sounds like it.
Ted Bundy? Is this like some weird Florida
He came
thing?
back from the
Like,
dead.
is this some weird
He's
ass,
channeling him.
yes, some weird ass Florida thing where like you commit horrific crimes and then you use your trials and hearings to serenade and profess your love to people? Because like, what the fuck? What a it's the only other instance I've ever heard of this. So like, the fuck is
Right.
happening here? Why are you letting this happen, Florida? Stop it. But he was executed by lethal injection in October of 2006. And that's good because he was awful. I mean, just like horrifying. Like it I just can't imagine like you raping and murdering people is horrifying and awful enough to deserve the death penalty, really. Like I'm here for that. But like the level he took it to, like cutting them open and
Yes.
cutting off heads and posing them in weird positions. Like, my God, just like,
Yes.
whoa. So, how did this inspire the movie, you ask?
Yes.
You'll love this. This is my favorite part of the story.
Okay.
Okay, so Kevin Williamson was house sitting for a friend one night in the mid 90s. And just like you and I was watching a true crime documentary on TV. This particular one was about Danny Rowling, the Gainesville Ripper. And like he learned all the stuff that we just learned, but he's watching it, so I'm sure he got some horrifying pictures and things to go along with it. And it scared
Right.
the shit out of him. Like watching this document. You've been there. You've watched that
Yes.
documentary, Homo, and you're like, the fuck? Yeah,
Right. Especially when it's like, ooh, they broke in through a screen
and you're
door,
like,
or
oh my God.
he got in and he was waiting for her inside
Yes.
the
Oh my
house. Like, that kind
God.
of shit's
That's
terrifying. Yes.
terrifying.
Yes.
And
Yes.
so
100%.
it scared the shit out of him. And during a commercial break, he noticed that one of the windows was open and he didn't remember opening it.
Oh, no.
And so in that moment, he felt like he was in a horror movie. He's like, maybe somebody's stalking me. Like, I don't know. You know, I'm house sitting for my friend. Maybe they're after my friend. Like, I don't know what's happening. So
Right.
he goes to the kitchen and grabs a butcher knife and he picks up his phone and calls one of his friends. And he's on the phone talking to his friend with a butcher knife in one hand, going like through the house. And he's like, using the butcher knife to like draw the shower curtain back or like, you know, to be like, and so, you know, once he realized no one was in the house, he must have opened the window, which he had at that point closed and locked.
Right.
He continues talking to his friend, and they're talking about, because he was like, it was like I was in a horror movie. It's really fucking scary. And so they start talking about some of their favorite like horror movies and like the boogeyman that came in their nightmares. And they were talking about Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger and the slasher
Yes.
films of like the 70s and early 80s that, didn't
Right.
exist anymore. And so he's like, you know what we need to do? We need to bring back the slasher film because it's not been around at that point for 10, 15 years, really, in the same way, but with
Right.
a 90s flair. And so he writes it. Wes Craven ends up directing it. And it was a departure from like the usual slasher movies as we know it, because they hired talented, known actors instead
Instead
of
of like
the
B
unknown people
actors.
that no one knew, because the
Right.
slasher films always had such a low budget. They would hire talented
Right.
actors, but ones that didn't have any like credits really, so that
Right.
they could pay them crap. But they decided to use an already known cast. But it was a slasher movie, and they didn't have a huge budget, so they weren't sure how they were going to pay this cast. How are they going to get people to sign on? Because they couldn't pay them a lot.
Right.
But then comes Drew Barrymore. She fucking loved the script, and she loved the idea, and she wanted to be part of it from the beginning. And in
And didn't
fact,
care.
she originally was signed on to be the main character, to be Sydney Prescott. Yes.
Yes,
She was signed on to be Sydney Prescott. And because she had signed on and she was a big known name and had all the connections, a lot of the other actors were willing to take less pay in order to have credit with her to be in a movie with Drew Barrymore.
Gotcha.
So they were able to get a lot of other people in. And because she had other things that she was in, she ended up not being able to play the main character and had to back out, but was heartbroken, wanted to be part of the movie. And so that is why she became the first kill. Because what this movie did that
Okay.
no other movie had ever done before is that the big name that everyone would recognize, that's who you see
Killed her
first.
off like
You see her, she's the beginning of,
immediately.
it's a 13-minute segment. It's the beginning of the
Yes.
movie. And you see
And
her, and you're
it's
expecting
fucking
her to be the
terrifying.
final girl. Because you're like, oh, Drew Barrymore, she's going to be the
Barrymore,
final
yeah.
girl. She was first kill.
Yep. And that first segment was fucking
It's
terrifying.
terrifying. Do you like scary movies?
I mean, but it was like once it turned bad, it was fucking
Like
bad. Like
it
when he
went
was,
from like, ha,
oh
to
my
like
God.
fucking awful.
Yeah. And it's like once that it broke into the house and then the popcorn's burning and chasing her, and then she gets out of the house and you're like, oh, she's gonna get away. And then he comes around. Oh God, awful,
It's
awful.
awful.
It was so bad. And
Awful.
then her parents come up the driveway and she's hanging there with her guts
Yeah.
laid out. Oh God.
Well, and like they kill her boyfriend, like because she
Oh
got it
yeah.
was like he was asking because she thought it was a game. She's on the phone thinking it's just
Yeah.
someone being silly and pranking. And she's answering scary movie question trivia, and she
Yep.
gets one wrong. And then the killer murders her boyfriend in front, like turns off the light, kills him, turns the light back on, he's dead. And she's like, what the
And
fuck?
his guts are like splayed out everywhere, and it's like, oh
And
God.
it was unlike anything anyone had ever seen before. And so she dies, and everyone is just like, the fuck just happened?
Right.
So I loved it. I love it. So who did become Sydney Prescott, Claire?
Nev Campbell.
Yes. Although Brittany Murphy and Reese Witherspoon were both considered for the role after Drew Barrymore backed out.
Oh, really?
Wes Craven
Interesting.
saw Neve Campbell in Party of Five and was like, I think she can do this. Like,
Wow.
oh yeah. Now she almost rejected it because she had just done The Craft and was like, I don't know that I want to be that
Okay.
character. But then after reading the script was like, you know what? Yeah, fuck yeah. Because what was so amazing about Scream is that it made fun of all of the horror movie tropes. Like they
Right.
all in this one, they all knew the horror movie tropes and they made fun of them. And then they all subsequently died from those same tropes, and it made it a
Yes.
parody but scary at the same time.
Yes.
Okay, so some fun facts about Scream.
Yes.
Courteney Cox and David Arquette fell in love while filming this movie.
I did know that.
And I'm like, "Aw, true love on this side on horror
The
movie.
horror movie.
Yay. Cool." Did you know that it was originally going to be named Scary Movie?
I don't think so, which is funny because that's when all the spoofs
Well,
wound up being
literally the
called.
very next year, Scary Movie the Spoof came out. And
That's
like it
funny.
was called Scary Movie for the longest time that even some of the first celebratory gifts that they got had Scary Movie on it instead of Scream because they changed it at the last minute.
Okay,
So they
gotcha.
changed it because they were afraid Scary Movie would make it too parody. They wanted to parody. They wanted like a title that
Yes.
was parody, but also the fact that it was really a horror movie work.
Right.
And they ended up naming it after the Michael Jackson song. I didn't realize he had a song named Scream, but apparently he does.
Okay.
So there you go.
Interesting.
Also, Wes Craven rejected it twice. He
Really?
said no twice.
Wow. Craven on
And
the charm.
they had considered other directors, but they all seemed to read the script and think it was supposed to be funny because it's the parody aspect.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's still scary and a slasher movie.
Right.
And so
Right.
eventually Wes Craven decided that the parody aspect of it was enough to make it different and interesting, because he too was thinking, I need to get out of the like horror film game because he'd done so many
Right.
and blah blah blah. Other fun fact, Drew Barrymore in her scene the very beginning, when she finally is calling 911 and then she like screams into the phone.
Yeah.
So that all of this stuff takes place on locations, like they filmed in actual houses and buildings that they scouted out. And the prop master forgot to unplug the phone, so she actually called 911 dozens of times, screaming and hanging up.
Oh no.
Eventually, the cop showed up just to be like,
Everything okay?
hey.
Is okay? Are we good?
Also, no one could agree on the mask because, like, it was just. Just mask with, a scary mask or
Yeah.
something was literally all that was written in the screenplay. And
Right.
they rejected so many. And one day they were on a location scouting the area to make sure that it would work for filming. And on the wall was the ghost face mask. And it was actually it's a produced Halloween mask by a company.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's so perfect. And it looks like the painting Scream, like the way
Right,
Deathface is.
yes.
And so the studio really wanted them to make it different enough that they weren't violating copyright
Right.
in order to make it work. But Wes hated everything that wasn't the original mask. And so eventually they had to make an agreement with the company to use that original mask. And that's why he became known
Okay.
as Ghostface, was because that was the mask.
Because that's what it was called with the okay. Because it was just a generic Halloween costume.
But it was so funny. Because I haven't seen the movie probably since the early 2000s. I know I watched it more than once, obviously, but like I couldn't tell you the last time I
Right.
saw it. So like I was rereading the storyline to remind myself
Right.
what happened and how it went down. And I was like, oh God, that's right. This is the doggy door scene. The doggy door in the
Oh
garage.
God, in
And
the
I
garage.
was like, oh my
Yeah. Oh
God.
shit.
Oh
A Tara Reid. Was it Tara Reid?
I think so.
Yeah.
But it was also, Scream was the highest grossing horror movie of all time. It was eventually outperformed by Halloween in 2018, but only by like amount. Because when you adjust for inflation, Scream still is
Okay.
actually the best. It still has the highest gross. And I'm like, whoa, impressive.
Interesting.
I mean, a lot of that is because they did use already established known actors so that pulled people to
Right.
come watch it. But I had completely forgotten because I knew, spoilers, sorry guys, you've had literally years and years to watch this, so.
Decades.
Like I remembered that Sydney's boyfriend was the killer, but I had forgotten that the friend
About
was helping as well, Matthew
Matthew
Lillard.
Lillard. Yeah.
I had forgotten that he was helping as well, and he actually just happened onto the part. He was on set not for Scream, like he was in the studio with his then girlfriend who was there for something, and he just was tagging along with her for a completely unrelated movie. And like he
Oh,
runs into someone
really?
in the hallway and they're like, oh, hey, do you want to read for this? And he's like, sure.
That's funny.
But
Nice.
I mean, it's when I think about how horrible and grotesque that movie was, like the gut spilling out or whatever, I'm like, it,
Yes.
and now knowing the horror that it was based on, like, you're not inaccurate. I mean, yeah, that guy wasn't a teen
Right.
killing teens or whatever, but. He was just, he was this horrific and he was breaking into places and, you know, in fact,
Right.
because I, there is a scene, isn't there? Is it Drew Barrymore that tries to barricade herself in? Somebody barricades himself in and then he gets in, I think, in the first movie. But like, that's a real thing that happened. I'm like, God, I hate that. That
No,
made
I
me.
think it was Sydney because she was like in the bedroom and then she climbs out the
Oh,
window and
yes.
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So again, too many years since I saw it, but. I was just like, damn, like what a insane real thing to happen that inspired, you know, really the revitalization of slasher films. Because I mean,
Right.
without Scream, we wouldn't have Final Destination, which still fucks with my brain.
I was behind a log truck the other day and I was
Every
like
time. And like,
having a panic attack. I
oh.
was like, I need to get around this thing immediately or have it turn or
Right? It's
something.
like,
I
I
can't
can't
handle
be
it.
behind a log truck. I know how this ends. I saw that movie.
Yes. 100%. I'm like, I can't handle this. Oh my God. Get it out. Go away, please.
But I mean, they, Wes Craven directed one, two, and maybe one, two, three, and four, first four. And then I apparently, I think he died, right? Wes Craven died?
Yes,
I'm not wrong. But so that caused a pause, but they recently have put out five and six. I think they're going to continue it on. I've not watched any past the first three.
I haven't either.
Although they still are critically acclaimed.
I watched the TV show.
Yes, I saw the first two seasons of the TV
I
show.
did
It was really
too. I
good.
did
I didn't watch
too.
the third one because it was different
I
people
didn't
and I didn't
either.
care anymore.
Yeah, I watched the first two seasons because it was like the same people in the first two seasons. Yeah. I did watch, and I was like, it's pretty good. Yeah.
No, I love it. I love that this random movie from my childhood trauma is still here.
Right.
Still relevant, still making its way. I mean, whatever.
Dang, yeah.
Interestingly, there, I mean, there's a lot of issues trying to get it released because like the people who rate movies were like NC-17 and they were trying to like cut out enough stuff to drop it down to R. And they kept pushing about Drew Barrymore's scene and how, like, all of the stuff,
Yeah.
her innards falling out and all the disgustingness. And Wes Craven lied, blatantly lied to them and said they only had one take of the scene or whatever. And so they couldn't change it. And so they're like, all right, fine.
Right.
It's fine. And I'm like, one take, Lord. So, like, her scene, her 13 minutes of movieing. Took 5 days to film.
Wow.
And then the final 21 minutes, I guess, that's when all the shit hits the fan. Everybody's in the house and lots of
Yeah.
things are happening.
Yeah.
Took 21 days, 20 something days, less. Yeah, something like
Oh,
that.
wow.
And I'm like, Because they could only film it
At
at
night,
night
probably.
because that's when it took place. So it's like once daylight happened, they had to stop. I'm like, huh. And then let's see. Henry Winkler was the principal who gets murdered. And he was
Yes.
uncredited because they didn't want him being in the movie to take away from the young actors. And I was like,
Okay.
huh, okay then. Well, there you go. But super cool. I mean, they just keep on keeping on.
Interesting. Right.
But that is a story of Scream the movie and the horrifying real life events that inspired it.
Oh my gosh.
And
Yeah,
the reality.
that's terrifying too. Yes,
Well,
yes,
and like
yes.
the reality that like I just love, I'm like, so literally you're just watching a documentary and then you realize your window's open and you freak the shit out. And from there
Right.
you turn into a six movie franchise that made millions of dollars. So good job.
Well, and the newest one, I think, is now on Paramount because I keep seeing the trailer for it. And just watching the trailer, I'm like, I can't do this trailer. No, I've got my PTSD from this movie. I can't do it. At least not at my
Right,
house.
no.
I have to be like with somebody else at their house during the daylight hours. Kind of like watching Haunting of Hill House at your
Right.
house,
It's safe.
not at my
It's safe
house.
here.
Like watching the other, what was it? Bly Manor. It was not as bad.
No. It wasn't nearly.
No, the other one I was like, ah. No.
There you have it.
Oh yeah.
So I
That movie,
guess
shoo.
I know, right? Like I have very vivid memories of watching it, and it scared me, and the second one scared me, and like the third one scared
Yes.
me. It all scared me.
Yes.
It would have scared me more to know that it was based on real things. I do know that for
Right.
the third movie, they had to really decrease the amount of violence that was in it because it was right after Columbine, and there's a hard look at violence in movies and TV shows inspiring people to do
Oh,
crap. And I'm
yeah.
like, holy hell. And there have been like a handful of murders that were semi-inspired by the movies. I mean, not really,
Right.
but like, not inspired. Like one of them, they put on the ghost face mask and then
Right.
killed somebody. I'm like,
Yeah.
I mean, it could have just been Jason Voorhees' mask. I don't know that matters, but whatever. Anyway,
Well, that was excellent. I
thank you. Thank you.
don't ever remember hearing about any of that.
No,
So.
not any of it. I have no memory whatsoever.
No.
So I guess that means it's time for Tarot
Yes.
Time with April. Spooky, spooky.
Yes.
All right, Claire.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Tell me when to stop. Woo. No, it was scary. It was scary. Everybody died horrific ways. Lots of disemboweling is how I remember it.
Yes.
But
Yikes.
I just love that Drew Barrymore loved it so much that she was like, no. I'll any part, give it. Give me any part.
I
I
just
just
want
want
to
to be
do
in it.
it.
I just want to be in it. It's great. I'm here for it.
Stop.
I just want to scream.
She's like, I don't care if I can't be the main character. Just give me something.
All right. We have the star.
Ah, it's been a minute since we've had that.
We have the page of wands. And the wheel of fortune.
Think it's been a minute since we've had that.
Yeah. It has been a minute. The star. The star. The sun. The moon, the star. Beautiful. That's what this card is. Hope, beauty, faith restored. This card is like a healing balm and an old wound. Just when you think everything is lost and the dark and twisties have taken you as far as you can go, you'll see the twinkling of the beautiful stars and your heart lifts. The star is the beginning. It's that first drink after days, months, years of being thirsty. You're so emotionally wrought and parched for the first spark of kindness that the first spark of kindness makes you gasp and brings tears to your eyes. Cool. Sure.
Not a bad card.
No, it seems acceptable. I mean, not amazing, but it's not bad. And that's really all I'm hoping for these days.
Right.
Like, please don't be bad. Please don't hate me. Okay. The Page of Wands. Oh, this is the earnest kid, full of piss and vinegar.
Okay.
He's about opportunity, adventure, and hope. An optimist, a poet, a dreamer, an inventor, an artist, and a fiery lover. He's confident and honest to a fault. He's also passionate, and there's a lot of charisma here. It's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two with hope.
Yeah, hope. I'll take some hope. All right. The world, there's judgment, and the star, and the tower, and the devil, and temperance. Where's my wheel of fortune? There it is. They're in a numbered order, but these cards aren't numbered, so I don't remember.
Okay.
Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. The Wheel of Fortune is awkward, and when it comes up in readings, it's the beginning and the end. Sometimes you're riding the wheel, and sometimes you're ground to dust under the wheel. It's very subjective.
Okay.
The card is about the law of returns. It can be about good things happening and luck turning around, or a warning to batten down the hatches and get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Okay. The author says this is a great card to have in a reading, but if you're a reader, it kind of sucks because it's ambiguous and hard to get clear direction. I just say everything's going to be okay. I don't know what okay looks like right now, but it's going to be fine. That's not very helpful, is it? Wait.
Right.
Let's see. Don't know. So I'm gonna go with good things, luck turning around, all the good things.
Yes.
So
All good
there you
things, all
go.
good things.
It's fine. We're fine. It's fine. Things fine. Especially since the
Is.
Page of Wands is right before it. You know, we're full of piss and vinegar and passion and art. So like, well, fortune has to be good, right? Right? Right?
Right. Yes.
right. That means it's finally time to know what our next topic is on our Wheel
Yes.
of Fate. I don't even know what I want it to be. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
I'm not sure what's next for me. Are you ready?
Sure, let's do it.
Claire's like, sure. I mean, whatever.
Do it.
Doomed history.
Oh, is that a new one?
I believe so. I'm afraid I don't know what it is.
Doomed history.
Doomed.
Whose is that?
I don't know.
Who put that on there? Is it Spencer?
I don't know if I didn't put down the name. I guess I didn't put down the names when I did it. No, I put down some names. I'll have to. Maybe I came up with that. Who knows? Maybe it's ghosts. Ghosts put it on there.
Doomed
Doomed
history?
history.
We're talking shit like the Titanic?
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Things that, you know, it's like le leading up to a big shitty bad thing. Like, hey, you were doomed. You weren't gonna make it. Sorry. Interesting.
Okay.
That'll be entertaining for all of us, because
Okay.
I feel like maybe I made that up and I had something in mind, but now I have no idea. So there's that.
don't know.
But that just means you guys can join us next week as we figure out what in the heck that topic was supposed to be about. Which is, you know, cool. I'm here for it. As long as it somehow fits the topic, we're fine. All right. Well, until next time, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, subscribe, comment, interact with us, yada, yada, yada. And you can send us more topics for the wheel, as well as any stories you'd like us to cover at
brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
Bye.
Bye.
And don't let Ghostface get you.